When the warship left Manila, sailing proudly o'er the sea, deep blue sea. All the sailors' hearts were filled with fond regret, looking backward to this island where they'd spent those happy hours, happy hours. Making love to every pretty girl they met. When up stepped a little sailor with his bright eyes all aglow, all aglow. Said, take a look at my gal's photograph. Then the sailors gathered round him just to look upon her face, smiling face. And he said, I love my dark face, Filipino.
We'll just come in on the laughter.
I love my dark face Filipino.
Oh, this is the best song ever, which I learned about 30 seconds before the show. Bowled over by it. First of all, I didn't know interracial sex had been invented back in 1946, whenever this came out.
They were sailors, John. Come on now.
Yeah, I just kind of thought you had, like, slave rape and that was it, though. Maybe a little bit of my innocence died hearing this song. Or maybe my horizons were expanded. Good for him, though. This is Cowboy Copas.
Yeah, no, he keeps
singing
it
about,
real.
Yeah, banging island broads.
And men. Did he say, like, the girls and men? Is that what he said?
I don't think they were that advanced in 1946.
They were sailors.
He would have been drummed out. Yeah, but sodomy was, like, a huge secret in the sailing community.
That's true. You wouldn't talk about it openly.
Exactly. That was just one of those wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You ever been on a boat? I think sailors got to land. It was like being in prison. You got to land, and it was all about the women.
Yeah, because you can always just go back to your mates, like, on those long voyages from port to port.
Yeah. I don't think they ever got into banging each other out when it came to the land time.
Right.
It was just maritime hijinks.
I mean, on our last around-the-world voyage, it's kind of how it worked.
Well, you and I premeditated, though. Like, we just have this pact where it isn't gay if it's on the seas. So we just walk in the door, you know, and fog up those portholes right quick.
Yeah. It's not gay on international waters.
Exactly. Pirate law, baby. Yeah. Maritime adventures. But I love this song, and I just heard it like 30 seconds ago. And by the way, this is why old country rules. That song's like a minute 48.
Yeah.
That thing doesn't F around. That's like punk rock right there. You're listening to another episode of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today, the lovely first mate on the SSPB, Howard Hyland.
Thank you very much.
So happy
to be here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Howard Heasy, that's your alias, especially after we've disclosed our
affairs. Yeah, I especially appreciate that on the live show, it's impossible to go back and remove that. So thank you.
All six people streaming it. You now know Howard's real name. You can listen to us live. We're in here more often than not. I'll be in here live a lot because I've got nothing occupying my weekends anymore. Anytime I was missing this live show before is because I was tied up with the chick. But I am a single cat out on the town now. Out on the town.
How have you been celebrating that independence and freedom?
Oh, well, pretty much any chick that was turned down in the meantime, you're digging up those numbers pretty quick. You're like, hey, remember that time I blew you off because I had someone? How intact is your ego?
Yeah.
Like, how little do you respect yourself? Like, I blew you off right. for someone better, but now you're what remains. So
yeah, just remember, life is pain, and I can help.
Exactly.
Be the more
in this topsy-turvy world, it's like I look at it like Mad Max law after the breakup.
All right.
You know, crap's turned on its head. It's like people kill each other for a bottle of gas. So maybe you should come see me. Maybe I need to come see you. Maybe some healing needs to take place. But I've just been free timing it up for the most part. Not even a lot of what you think a man would do freshly out of a relationship. Not even a lot of that. Although, if you have any interest in hitting a, shall we say, shack of Jack, a Jack shack, maybe, a massage parlor, putting the fancy European U on the end, British it up, right around the station is a hotbed for it. Now, I know you're going to say no, and I wouldn't pay $100 with tip to get just that either, because paying for it in general seems weird to me. as much as in theory I should be for it, I'm also a total germ freak.
Yeah, see, that's the biggest thing I think you would have a problem with.
I would do it and immediately. I'm having to do HIV tests from getting out of my current relationship just because I went bare a few times. That, and I'm currently watching the 30 for 30 about Magic Johnson's announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Which is streaming on Netflix.
See, but you are not even close to the numbers that Magic Johnson has.
It only takes one. It's like terrorism, man.
Yeah.
You need to fail screening one time, and you get it. So, yeah, I've got to do tests on tests, probably. Not like I've had any symptoms. I certainly haven't lost any weight. God damn it, the one perk of that disease. But you still get checked, man.
You're a bit of a hypochondriac, I got to say, especially when it comes to the VD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But let's not act like my condom record is spotless either. I mean, I've digested the fact no condoms equals you did a bad thing. I just go through with that bad thing and then panic. That's my idea of a good time.
Yeah, and I just see it killing you. Absolutely. Just like destroying your psyche if you went and got a happy ending next door. And then like the fact that it would reset the clock for you, you'd have to wait, what, like another 90 days?
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about a happy ending, though. I'm not nuts. It's not like she used a jar full of hepatitis as lubricant. I'm sure I'd be fine from a rub and tug. But you worry, man. You go bareback, you hear about certain partners
Speak
the other
for yourself,
person had.
Dude.
What, you've never gone ever?
No, just the worry part.
Oh, yeah, you're like Will.
What's done is done, man. Like, the more you think about it, you're just creating stomach acid in your own body. Like, not a fan of that. Just like
I obviously don't learn from it. I've certainly done it enough.
That's the bizarre thing. You're almost Catholic in the way that you just like have this horrible guilt, like after the fact. Except you apply
only
it to...
only guilt if bareback though.
Yeah.
Whenever I do it protected with someone, I'm whistling Dixie. I forget their name 30 seconds later.
Right.
And that's it. It's the way God intended it. Forgetting a sexual partner and prophylactics. You can listen to the show on inpapasbasement.com. That's the website. It's got every episode archived. It's got a bunch of my writing. Go there. If you're listening now, go to inpapasbasement.com. I cannot emphasize that enough. For some reason, Google has taken a giant dump on my rankings lately, and I've gone from like 1,000-something visitors a day to 250. I pretty much want to hang myself. It's like I've got that going on in my life, got my breakup, my cat is got a belly full of cancer, looks like a walking skeleton with fur at this point.
Jeez.
It's just a lot on my plate right now.
You've lost so much pussy this week, it's not even...
Exactly. Well, the one's hanging in there.
Okay.
The one. God bless. My poor cat. Oh, God. I woke up today at 8:30 just expecting her to be dead. Like, she's that close to death's door, and I just slept another 3 hours because I did not want to wake up to it. I finally woke up at 11:30 to a customer calling me like, I need to get into my house.
Would you have been interrupted, though, by, like, a wailing Maria?
Yeah, I still remember when my first cat died, like, in high school. I definitely, that was my alarm clock for that day. Just, like, oh, the sound of my mother's disappointment. So familiar, yet not at this hour. And so, yeah, I would have been woken up to some sort of sobbing.
Yeah.
But it's just preventative measure. I like hibernating when depressed. It's great.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent way to avoid.
And like I said, I've only been waking up to watch 30 for 30 or do work. God damn those 30 for 30s.
What's your favorite?
Oh, out of what I've seen so far, because I saw about 10 of the 30.
That's where I am right now.
Yeah, when they aired, 5 to 10 of them. And I've seen 3 or 4 recently. For those that don't know, 30 for 30 was a series ESPN did. When was the 30th anniversary of ESPN? You'd know this.
Was it last
2 years
year.
Ago? Okay, yeah.
It was last year.
It was last year.
They produced 30 films from a variety of documentarians, and they ended up having these hour-and-a-half films that are now available on DVD.
Yeah, and Netflix.
Great.
Very conveniently. Yeah. And the whole concept was they wanted to delve into stories. Either a lot of them were big stories. They said the thrust of what they were trying to accomplish was actually stories you hadn't heard so much about, but there's like Magic Johnson's AIDS announcement, Len Bias. I mean, who the hell are they kidding? Like, for the most part, these are big stories, but they wanted to at least do a really good job covering them 20 5 years after the fact.
Yeah, they wanted to. It was kind of an artistic choice. The 30 storylines they followed from the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And so they spread it out across the years. And yeah, they went with a bunch that were bigger stories, but they did go for some of the more obscure ones, which honestly, I think they understood. People like me, I mean, I gotta admit, I haven't seen a whole lot of the obscure ones, like the Creating Todd Marinovich one.
Definitely, that was like the second one I streamed on Netflix. That is a good one.
That's supposed to be amazing.
That is a meditation on what pressuring your child winds up doing.
Yeah, it's a classic story of athletics in America, and yet it's the fact that he was such a horrific failure.
Todd Marinovich was a California kid, and his dad was an athletic trainer, and he really had this kid in order to enact everything he had learned from birth on his kid, enact on, enact with. I don't know what the hell we're looking for there, preposition-wise. He wanted to do these things to his kid to really breed the perfect athlete. And so he goes on the record saying, yeah, when he's in his crib, I was stretching his hamstrings and his quads by hand, like bending these little fat baby legs back and forth.
My gosh.
And he would suck on frozen bits of liver and kidney instead of getting a pacifier. And he was on an organic diet his whole life.
Wow.
And it's really funny because I don't think the sister got much attention, because Todd is interviewed throughout this. And he's about 41, because he gets drafted the same year as Favre, ahead of Favre. And he came out about 20, and Favre's 22 at this point.
Right.
So he's actually maybe 39, something like that. He's still very fit, losing his hair, but in shape dude. And then they interview the sister, and she's just, I don't want to say a slop bucket or a trash fire. And it's so funny because I just Googled her name. It's like Tracy, whatever the married name is, Marinovich. And her first hit is just her straight up Facebook profile. And so I'm like clicking through the Facebook photos of this woman I saw on the special just to be like, well, she's a ginger and she kind of looked like she had a big rack. Let's see what's doing. I don't know. I don't think Dad cared so much what went into Tracy. Tracy's a bit of a biggin. I wish he'd cared about breeding the perfect piece of ass, too. That would have been an experiment more fascinating to me. But Todd's story is, since birth, he's basically been trained to be a quarterback. Or at least an athlete.
Yeah.
And I think Dad was a lineman, something of that nature.
I mean, he was drafted highly.
He was first round, first round by the Raiders, of course, that jackass Al Davis was like, oh, he's fast. Because that matters at quarterback.
He loved metrics, and Todd Marinovich had those.
Yeah. And the kid is a high school quarterbacking phenom, but he's just burning out on it at the same time. By the time he's at USC, he's inconsistent because he's doing tons of coke and weed and drinking, yet he's eating organically.
Yeah.
So he's got this Colombian gasoline going down his nasal tract.
Got to be real. I think USC has to be one of the hardest schools to be a football player. Especially now that there isn't an NFL team in that city. Oh, like,
dude,
how are you
he goes
supposed
on,
to behave?
He's 19 or 20. Stephanie Seymour in a limo in her Victoria's Secret days while she's screwing Axl Rose comes up in the limo and picks him up, like, in front of his dorm. He's cucking Axl Rose. It doesn't get bigger than that.
That, you just stunned me with that. That is everything that I would fear as a USC alum with my football team. I mean, I would.
You hit it on the head. That's the best football they've got now.
Yeah.
You're a god, and you're just this young buck. And there's no way she was, like, under. Oh, God. Hold on. I can do the math because she's, like, 46. So she was, like, at least 5 years older than this guy even back then and might have had the kid at that point. I'm not sure. But that is badass. You're screwing Axl Rose's woman, and she's driving up in the limo to get you to screw her.
Jeez.
So the wheels fall off, obviously. He just can't maintain this double life. He's right. Just going to town after town with the Raiders. They redshirt him, I suppose would be the term. He's just there to learn what it is to be in the NFL because he's drafted at age 20. They boot him out of USC after his sophomore year.
Okay. And he's still just a first-round pick. And
he's just
signing
going
bonus.
To all these cities, effing women, like banging every, just getting every stewardess from the plane they had. And then screwing him. And of course he burns out. How are you? He just, that's his whole life, man. It's exactly like me with academics. My mom raised me in that crap. by the time I hit 18 and I got to college, it was enough.
So let me ask you, do you think that the way his career went was worth it for all the gash that he accrued over a lifetime? Or would you rather have...
Well, where he wound up wasn't the worst place on earth. I guess he kind of became a junkie for a while, so he got too into the drugs for my taste.
Right.
But he's now married with two kids and kind of works an okay job.
But would you rather be like McMahon? Because I think Jim McMahon was, he married a Mormon, I think, coming out of BYU. He's not Mormon himself, like, mm-hmm. They're divorced now. But, I mean, he got the ring. You know, he's never, like, a great player, but, you know, he got to start in the NFL and never really got the benefits of being a pro athlete, of just traveling from city to city, just, like,
I was talking about this with a friend. I think athletic groupies are the best. I think rock chick groupies, like, if you're a musician, you can get some scraggly-looking tail.
Yeah.
And some girls are very hot into musicians, but they're a tier below. I feel it's like fit, sexy women that like the athletes. There's something about the athlete that intimidates the girls that aren't really good looking. Where it's like, what business do I have with this Adonis?
Right. See, but what? I guess the real standard bearer. I ask you this from time to time because I always want to get a feel how you're looking at the world these days. But the real...
Glumly is the answer. Continue.
All right, this is always like the big dilemma in sports. You know, like part of it, you want the fame. But what about the accolades, the actual on the field or on the court accomplishments? Is that important? Or is it really like the fact that you used your fame in order to get more tail? And here's my question. Right now, whose career would you rather have? Would you rather have Bill Russell's or Wilt Chamberlain's? Or to put it another way.
Bill Russell's still alive. I like that part.
No. Forget about that. We're not looking at that part. We're talking about like their actual playing careers. So looking at their playing careers, you could either have Bill Russell's 9 or Wilt Chamberlain's 20,000.
I think the trick here is Bill Russell... Was he, like, married or something? Is it a story that he just never got any? Because Wilt Chamberlain's 20,000 women, or however many he screwed, this is going to sound weird coming from my mouth. It's overkill. There comes a point you're just not even going to remember it all.
But here's the thing about when he was in the NBA Finals losing to Russell. I mean, he did get a couple titles by the end of it. But when Wilt was in the NBA Finals losing to Bill Russell, I mean, that was the time of year where he was basically rewarded with women who don't even follow basketball, but because, you know, he's going from Boston to L.A., and you have all these Fairweather fans who are just like, oh, the NBA Finals are on. Who is that attractive man? He had a priority, and it wasn't necessarily being in tip-top shape.
He would be
for
up
game.
All night screwing. Yeah, I get you. I mean, that was apparently, they had to put a clamp down on hotel, I guess, concierges, guys running the front desk. Women would bribe them a lot of money to find out what room Tom Brady was in, and Tom Brady would, like, wake up to hot women naked in his bed trying to screw him, like, in the middle of the night.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. What a hell of a life, right? What a torture. I'll never comprehend life like that. Just putting something out there where getting the women is shooting fish in a barrel. I'll never understand that as long as I live. Like, not that... this is going to sound weird. Not that women don't dig on what I do writing-wise in this show, but there's still effort involved if I want to close that deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still have to be witty and charming in person. I've never had anyone show up at my doorstep just like, you want to F? The closest I've ever come is someone used one of those, I don't know, it's a website information finder, and you can see who owns a URL, their phone number and all that, and a dude who was a fan of the site started texting me. Just finding my number off of that. And I was just like, who the hell is this?
Hey, bro.
Yeah. Hey, bro. How you been? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, brah. Who are you? That's it. Yeah. No women and just texting.
All right, man. Well,
exactly. That's the scariest, saddest thing I've ever said.
Getting back to 30 on 30, I'm a little creeped out by that. But just to tell you which of those movies was my favorite.
Okay.
The SMU.
I have not watched that one yet. The Death Penalty one where they get it. There's, oh God, I forget the cat's name. probably my favorite, the one that blew me away because I had no idea who the hell it was. There was this NASCAR driver who got the Hivvy like 2 years before Magic Johnson and just died. And he was kicking ass. He was burying Dale Earnhardt for like a year or so. Todd something.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Exactly. And he finds out he has AIDS and he's gone like,
right,
like 1 year. And that one, if you can find it, is really good. Really depressing, man. Because you just, I never knew this guy existed.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that blow me away. Where it's just, I never even heard the story. Every other one, I've heard the story to some extent. I know a little about the death penalty. I knew a little about Marinovich. I definitely know a lot about Magic. I know a lot about Len Bias. But this guy, I'm like, oh, I never even knew this person. And then they're here and they're gone in the span of 45 minutes.
I think there's another one that you might want to check out.
Is there another AIDS one? I can pick up my...
No, this one's a little weird. It's kind of like Hoop Dreams. It's a bit of a ripoff of Hoop Dreams, I feel. But it's after the fact. They look at this kid who was the highest rated high school running back ever. And he just amounted to nothing in college.
Yeah, I've seen it. Was he from California?
I can't remember where he's from. I haven't seen it either. I just know that that one, I had no idea who that guy was. Because, like, I don't follow high school recruiting. I think it's kind of
gross.
If it
is who I think it is, Tony went to high school with him.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. My buddy Tony, if it is who I think it is, it was this California kid who was just really, really sick gifted, and no one ever disciplined him for crap. He got to college, found out he wasn't automatically the best thing on the field, and just that crushed him, and he washed out at that point.
Yeah, it's just so strange when you look at what's recruiting now, because did you hear about LSU giving that eighth grader a scholarship? University of Washington did the same.
Sorry, I just saw in the halls that chick who always books the studio time ahead of us, our enemy, just circling like a shark. We're in here. We're in here. We got it. You didn't. Suck it. Suck it good. No, back to LSU. What about the little kid?
No, like, I mean, they're giving scholarship offers now to eighth graders for football.
That's nuts.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting and shameful. And, you know, getting back to SMU, the reason I like the death penalty.
Isn't there like an age cap on that?
Dude, like, college football is broken. It's been broken, and they haven't really fixed it. Like, it was almost better when you look at how SMU handled it. I almost think it was better when kids were getting paid under the table. And you hear some of these, like, old, unapologetic Texans who are just like, hey, listen, they're working so hard, and they're getting nothing. It's just not fair. Guys who were just stone cold, like, you just...
Well, I hate every angry white guy who's like, what do you mean? They're getting an education. Blow me.
The Texans do not
blow
do
me.
That. The
really?
Guys, like...
God bless.
I'm a Big 12 guy, and so, like, the old Southwest Conference, like, I gotta know that stuff. That's, like, my history.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's just listening to these guys who are just unabashedly, like, come on. I know this ain't about college. Like, these kids work hard. They play well. They deserve money. And I'm just like, that's it. I'm so relieved to finally hear, like, some old white guy just admit what needs to happen. And they took care of it on the side, like,
yeah,
under the table. It's like old school politics. Like, we used to have a primary system that wasn't decided the way that we decided today by real democracy. Like, back in the day, I guess to some extent it's money now, but back in the day it was just, like, cigars, scotch, and a couple of agreements. Like, gentlemen's handshakes, and that was who your candidate was going to be for the presidency. Now... Yeah, you can buy it to some extent, but you get these, like, crazy, crazy campaigners, like Sarah Palin, you know,
that
just like
sucks.
These rock
it's
stars.
It's like the that... more open people try to be in these various processes, almost the more corrupt and crappy it becomes.
That's how college football is, too, now. Yeah, like, it sucks how much money the schools are making off of the student-athletes, and so many of them are getting suspended for, like, rinky-dink stuff. It's garbage, like, the mistreatment of student-athletes today. Because you can get suspended for a couple $100. You know what I mean? It's just
someone handing you a couple hundred, you mean?
Yeah. Like, people get in trouble for, like, ridiculous gifts now. Whereas, like, you know, Eric Dickerson in the SMU death penalty, to this day, Eric Dickerson will not admit, like, that he received a gift of, like, a new car when he was a high school senior.
Yeah. To entice him to go to SMU.
Actually, it was to entice him to go to a different school. And so, like, he felt really guilty. This is, you gotta love the corruption of the 80s. So, like, he was given this car. It was a sports car. I can't remember what car it was, but I think it was like a Pontiac Trans Am or something.
It's a piece of crap.
No, but it was, back then it was like, it was pretty much a muscle car.
Okay, like, yeah. You know, still nothing great.
Dude, but his family was broke. Like, I think some other school gave him a TV, but when this school, like, upped the ante, just gave him a car. He was floored. He felt like he was obligated to go. And then, like, out of nowhere, like, they talked to the guy who did this from SMU. Like, Dickerson was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But the guy who actually stepped in talked to the other school that had given him the car and said, we're taking over the payments on this.
Wow.
So there was an actual agreement where SMU finished the gift that was started by another school. Like, this is how elaborate this whole, like,
I'm still in the middle of the Magic Johnson AIDS 30 for 30. When I get back home, that's the treat waiting for me.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I'm just curious if they show, like, the press conference after the press conference where, you know, he has to have the clarification because it's, like, the early
90s. I didn't get the booty flu. I got it from actually sexing women, tons of them. I have not heard that part of the press conference. I am right after the initial press conference where, damn, he was a charismatic, upbeat guy, that Magic. Like, he's smiling while being like, yeah, I've got AIDS, and because of that, I'm quitting basketball immediately.
Yeah.
Hey, see you later, folks.
Did they talk about the Garth Brooks song that he wrote?
No. We haven't gotten there yet, at least. No, I have not heard. He wrote,
the song The Dance?
Yeah.
The Dance is about the day Magic Johnson told the world he had AIDS.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was about a lot of crap, but
no, quite literally, it was Garth Brooks is, he went to Oklahoma State.
He held Magic Johnson, and when he held him, he held everything.
Well, he just, he grew up a college basketball fan. Anybody who's, like, associated with Oklahoma State loves basketball.
Okay.
And so, like, one of the greatest college basketball stories of all time is Bird versus Magic.
Yes, absolutely. And, like, even I know that.
But Magic bested Bird at that time, so, like, in their college years, that's kind of, like, Magic kind of got the upper hand in, like, one of the greatest stories of college basketball history. And so, like, for Garth being, you know, a college basketball historian a bit, he was so devastated by that
moment. Hold on, now I have to put on the dance. Hold on.
No, it's good. It's just, I didn't know that. When I actually found out, and he named it that because of the tournament. So, like, it's always called the Big Dance, and it's just, that's kind of where he got the inspiration. And so, like, it's just, it's disturbing that it can tie to, like, anybody's life.
Hold on, I have to put the dance in cue because I think Garth crushes all these versions. I'm not getting any audio for it. Pretty much, Garth is one of those dudes, his music isn't on YouTube for whatever reason.
Oh, he probably polices it pretty heavily. Yeah,
yeah, you just cannot find a Garth version on there. Not even that Standing Inside the Fire song with that retard. If you've ever watched that video, that's a hoot and a half. About this kid with Downs or something like that, and he wants to compete at his high school track meet. And it's just the worst acting ever. The dad's like, no, he's not going to do this. And the mom's like, you have to let him. And then the Downs kid's just holding his ears like, nah!
Sounds
horrible. And then he actually goes to the meet, and the dad's just glowering in the stands, and he runs, and he falls. And, of course, it's the dad that's like, get up, son! Get up!
Was that the inspiration for the Mr. Show's, like, skit about the normal kid with the two retarded parents?
I don't know. When it says, when I say my shoes are tight, it means I love you. He steps out of his body and is unretarded for a second.
Yeah.
My shoes are tight too, Dad. My shoes are tight too. Oh, God. That was a good one. Oh, the dance. That is just one of those songs you hear that, I don't know about you, I get nipples like diamonds about 10 seconds into that.
Dude, they're going to get even harder now that you realize what it's really about.
Oh, of course. Well, I always thought it was about his buddy Chris Ledoux, or I guess Chris was alive when it came out, so never mind. He started playing it when Chris died, just some alcoholic rodeo cowboy / country singer. But, oh, that's a depressing one. That's one of those songs you hear and you just think back to everyone you've ever lost. And you're like, this is about that.
Yeah, no.
It choke up.
It's like, it's one of the, geez, it's hard to, like, rank songs, but history, like, this is one of the greatest of all time.
Well, there's this whole subgenre. Like, pop music will dwell on breakups, I've noticed. Why is someone stepping into our sub studio? You better be out of there by 4, lady. The studio we booked for 4 p.m., my little nemesis, who's not a sexy Filipino baby, she is stepping in there right now. You better be out by 4, sister. That's all I'm saying. So pop music will go so far as the breakup, which I've kind of zoned out on pop in general ever since I got serious maybe 2 years ago at this point. I just listened to Opie and Anthony all effing day. But why are you grinning at that?
Yeah.
And it's funny. I now that I'm going through that a little bit, I hear Adele still playing, and I'm like, oh, this is why pop music exists. It's for sad teenagers and their first heartbreak. Country isn't afraid to take it a step further. There's a lot of songs about people just dying in country music. I remember my mom discovering that in the wake of my dad passing. We had a lot of The Dance in the house. There's this horrible Diamond Rio song, One More Day. You ever heard that one?
Oh, yeah, no, I know that one.
God.
Yeah.
The worst thing about One More Day is there was this just redneck jackathon edited cover where they spliced in the audio of Dale Earnhardt dying with it.
I've never heard that.
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, wow.
So it just becomes this love letter to this stupid hick crushing his skull into a wall. You have never heard a song cheapened. Not that this was a real soulful song to begin with. I'm sorry. A lot of country music is just like, we're going to pay that writer to write this song about that because that's what we think is going to be good for our career right now. So it's never like Diamond Rio sat down and penned this song. Some guy who actually had a heart and soul made it, and then Diamond Rio were like, well, we're the one that can play the mandolins and sing.
I mean, that's Nashville.
That's just Nashville, exactly. Yeah. So I'm never too bowled over. Garth, a little more to me, had some sort of connection to his music. I've always felt that.
I think one reason he was super popular was, like, it's infrequent to find someone who is both a talented performer and songwriter.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare in the country world, I'd say.
Yeah, no one writes their crap in the country world.
Well, Taylor Swift does.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Taylor Swift. We'll get to that in a second, how insane she is. That she is the worst human being ever and doesn't have a big enough rack to get away with it.
Wow.
She's horrible. I hate her. But we'll get to that in a second. Put that on the back burner. Don't let me forget it.
Okay.
Diamond Rio. It's a cheap song to begin with. It just completely plays on if you've lost anyone. You'll still get choked up because the lyrics are about, you know, if I had one more day at the end of it, I would just be wishing for yet another day with you. And it's like, ugh, yeah, I get it. I get it. You want the dead to live on. Yeah. But find the Dale Earnhardt version of One More Day, where it's just some fruit NASCAR fan nursing his closet case hard on that his hero is gone. It is the worst thing you will ever hear. You will laugh your way through it. Again, I'd punch it up, but screw it. Why do show prep and have this audio at the ready? Back to Taylor Swift. She's 22. This is just my news that I love the most. I do sports and I do pop culture.
You
and I make sure that the world isn't ending tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, where's the bloodshed and the bombs? It's in one of those brown countries. Okay, bye. Yeah. Taylor Swift, 22, is dating, I want to say, Robert F. Kennedy, or I don't know if he's an F. Robert Kennedy's, I guess it'd be a grandson at this point, because he wouldn't have an 18-year-old son. I can do my math. He was killed about 40 years ago. They didn't freeze his sperm like a stud horse. So she's dating his grandson, who's 18. She coughed up $6.5 million to buy the mansion across from one of, I think, Eunice Kennedy. Like, just to be in the neighborhood in case Robert's around or whatever the hell the little tyke is named.
What is she worth?
I think country stars are one of the last to really rake in the money.
See, but her thing is she's the songwriter, and so that changes the entire formula for her bank account. Like, she gets all the royalties.
She's like
from
Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton would never play other people's music. Everything you've ever heard Dolly sing, for the most part, at least to release, is like her material.
Because you don't make much except for like the sale of the recording. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, she wrote "I Will Always Love You" for Elvis. And I every time I hear that fact, I'm just like, you can hear that big, fat, dying Elvis voice, you know, doing it near the end. It would have been amazing. And that sea sucker, Colonel Tom Parker, is like, yeah, sign over your rights to me just so you can have the exposure. And she's like, screw you.
Yeah.
She sold it to Whitney a little later. Did okay on that one, I think.
That was all right, yeah.
Wonder if she made a couple shekels off of that. So, yeah, Taylor writes her crap. and makes the money off performing. So God knows how much she's worth. I'm
just saying, like, $6.5 million might not be that much out of her checkbook, man.
Oh, I didn't allege it was.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, the way you and I would buy some $80,000 flop house to screw whores in. Just throw down a mattress and a casting couch.
Why are you begrudging her for this?
Because she's an insane person. She's dating an 18-year-old and buying a house to be near him.
It's a bit peculiar. Maybe she thinks she's the next Jackie O.
If you're a girl, I don't care how hooked in the guy is. If you're a girl who's 22, to do an 18-year-old is such grotesque chicken hawking. Like, you're not, you know, milflessons.com here. You're not going for these young guys because you're 40 and you've done your marrying the ugly guy for the kids and the security and you just want a little on the side. She's trying to, like, build a life with an 18-year-old.
I gotta be honest, I've never seen a picture of this guy, but if he looks like RFK or better
yet,
JFK,
after the shooting.
I'm just saying, like,
there a breeze. Oh, we're getting a call. This might be my buddy Drew. Oops, I should have acted like this was a spontaneous call. Sorry, my friend Drew might be calling in. Hold on. Let the board op slash me punch it up. Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, God, it's my mom. What a horrible surprise.
I'm sorry, but your response to this is identical to mine. I'm thinking this is totally bizarre. His name is Connor.
Connor.
He does have a flop of Kennedy-type hair.
Yes.
But the whole thing is there's some kind of insane I don't like the way she's losing herself because you know very well living in Tennessee all these years.
Well, all she's going to
she was probably doing the Republican Party line, and now she's even probably switching over to a Democrat Party
line.
Well,
this dumb C, all she's going to do is drive this kid away and then write love songs about it.
And be stuck with the house.
Well, she'll sell it. I'm sure it's not exactly crap property.
Right.
She'll sell it for more than she paid because she lived
there. I just said that to get a cheap laugh. Of course not. She won't be stuck one way or the other. But to me, I think it's an insane pairing, and I don't understand what this child is after, meaning her. I just don't understand her.
She's dumb.
You know, her parents moved from somewhere in the north, I don't know, Massachusetts or something, down to Tennessee to, you know, foster her, help her with her career. And I thought, well, maybe that is the way to go. Maybe that's the way parents should go. I don't think so. I think she's been overindulged. And
she's an insane person.
She probably is. I'll get off now. But
well, no,
anyway,
that's fine. That's good
but
hearing
I just want
you.
To say this exactly what I was thinking. And I've been reading about it. And I'm going, what is she doing? And why aren't his parents protecting him from
yes.
her?
Just, you're a Kennedy. I don't care how much she's worth and how famous she is right now. You still trump all that.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, is the cat still alive?
Yeah, and eating. She has to go out. I mean, she did chomp a little bit, but I had to laugh. I had put her those tiny bits of those morsels of chicken down.
Yeah.
And it was fresh. But you know, typical Greek papa, you gave her another bunch of, I saw chopped up, you gave her an additional portion. And
well, no, she was,
I gave
her some canned crap. That's what she was meowing for.
Oh, okay. Well, she was at that, too. She was pretty much eating the canned stuff, and then now she went out again.
Oh, good. The death watch continues.
Yes. Leave me, John. I mean, this cat is incredible. She's going to take us on a long trip. I bet she's here at Christmas.
I hope. God. Right. I don't think so, but I hope.
Okay. All right. Wouldn't put it past her.
All right.
Okay.
Love you,
hi,
woman.
Howard.
Hi.
Bye.
All right. Later. That was Maria Papageorgiou, a.k.a. my mother. Doing one of her cameos. God bless her. But yeah, I don't get the guys that really sweat Taylor Swift too. Even if you're into blondes. Even if you're into blondes, why? She's got a mushy little cat face. Like these little slanty eyes. She's a weird looking bitch.
I'm down, man. Sorry to be one of those guys.
I'd hit it. I mean, I'd do her. She's not fat.
Dude, you're a donkey. Like, that's not an impressive statement coming from you. So,
well, yeah, I'd screw her. She's attractive. I'd get it up for her. But there's some guys that really think she's just the bee's damn knees.
I think she's pretty close to a 10.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll
no.
go there, man.
Just physically, I'd give her like a 6.5. She's like tall and skinny.
Down.
I don't like the dome.
You're describing me, man. Like... We'd be two golf clubs standing next to each other.
I don't get it. I can get Carrie Underwood. That's a pretty girl.
Wait, did you just say that?
What?
like Harry Underfoot.
Carrie Underwood better than Taylor Swift? Hell yeah.
Oh, no, dude. That Oaky.
Got a much better dome piece. It actually has like some sort of breasts and ass. Oops,
nah,
I need to
I'm
put
not,
the phone on the hook.
I'm not okay with her, man.
Really?
No, not at all.
How? Like, it's just, I think if you showed 100 people their two pictures and they weren't famous, everyone would pick Carrie Underwood.
You know I like a little extra weight on a woman, too.
Yeah, so why do you like that Skeletor bitch?
I'm saying, as far as skinny women go, she's
Carrie's
like
got more
there.
Meat than what's-her-face.
Yeah, but she don't carry it at all, like, all that well.
Well, she lost some after American Idol. They were like, drop about 15, honey. And she did it.
It still didn't look great on her, man. Like, I don't know what it is about her body type. That...
Well, now I have to ask. I mean, is Kelly Clarkson, like, your ideal out of all of them?
Her voice is really good, though. I'm just going to throw that out.
So have her use you like a microphone. I'm just saying. Oh, you're looking
at me. I already know the answer here. No, you're right. I'm in. Objectively speaking, that is not appropriate. But that's a really good voice on her, at least. I'm not a big fan of Harry Underfoot's voice.
I don't know where you got this nickname. Some little
I don't
teenage
like
forum you frequent trolling for 14-year-olds. Kelly fell the hell apart real fast. I remember seeing her during the Behind These Hazel Eyes kind of Since You've Been Gone era. And there's a shot of her in jeans with like a shredded Guns N' Roses t-shirt on holding a burger and fries. And they're like, look, even though she's in shape, she could still eat like one of the guys. It was some sort of caption from EW. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of sexy. Good for her. She fell the hell apart after that, man.
Yeah. No, she likes the burgers quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not defending your girl. Isn't she Greek?
Half. She's a halfie.
Okay. So you can get away with dissing her. I see how it is. Hating on the halves.
She could be all Greek, man. I'll still call it like it is. She's not a trap. A lot of Greek women are very bestial. There's a lot of grooming that needs to take place. They can have some busted schnozzes. I don't like so much. Not on average. I mean, they're good-looking ones. The one that said all the white power crap, well, I guess it wasn't really white power. She made that Olympic joke. The Olympian was good-looking.
Oh, she was money.
She had a busted beak, but she's Greek. What do you want? We all have horrible noses. You kind of just take that as a given and operate from there. She had a sick body.
Yeah, no, like, whenever I feel bad about doing your show, like, I hear stories about that. I'm like, yeah, those people really got screwed by, like, their internet presence.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. You're not on a big enough stage to get screwed. What was it? She made the joke about West Nile mosquitoes in Greece, and I guess Greece has had a big influx in African immigrants lately. And she's like, yeah, at least the mosquitoes will enjoy some home cooking because they'll be biting black people. Get it? I'm sorry. That's not funny, but not offensive either.
It's just, you know, I'll put it this way. She is paid to be an Olympic athlete. Or maybe she's not paid at all. I don't know if they actually have amateurism over there.
So. I don't know what their status is either.
Again,
the wonders of show prep.
She is not a comedian.
Yeah.
I remember when Tiger Woods first bust on the scene, and he would make these awkward jokes during press conferences, and it's like, dude, you
shut
are
shut up and
so
hold a club
far from funny. You should just the facts, man. Just the facts. Like, there's a few athletes who do have the funny
dude,
bone.
People who get that much success in one field, they always, I think, maybe resent it isn't the word, but they want to be seen for their other strengths, which I feel they think are on par with, like, their athletic gifts. Chris Rock said it best. He's like, every comedian wants to be a musician. Every musician wants to think he's funny.
Yeah.
And I've never known that to be untrue. Every musician is cracking wise backstage. I remember behind the music on Randy Travis, it was like he paid his friends. Every one of them was like, a lot of people don't, not Randy Travis, Travis Tritt, the one that kept his clothes on. Like, a lot of people don't know how funny Travis is, but he's the life of the party. It's like, shut the hell up.
Right.
Like, your platinum records aren't enough, Travis. Leave the yuckles to the rest of us. And I've heard even Chris Rock, well, anytime he's at a party, he just insists on DJing. And if you're going to let Chris Rock do it. And he's got good taste in music. At least he's not singing. He's not doing an Eddie Murphy.
There you go, yeah.
He's not doing a What's Up With You. Oh, Eddie. How painfully unfunny you became.
But they showed I follow Usain Bolt on Twitter. And he had some pics of him with Jason Statham. And oh my gosh, those guys are in love with each other. They just so want to be one another. It was ridiculous just watching them interact because here's
what Statham actually wants to run fast and be athletic and not just act it.
Yeah, I think he wants to be like a real athlete.
I would like to be Jason Statham because I think he used to screw Kelly Brock or Brooke or whatever her name is. It's like 5'5" British model who's got jugs the size of your torso.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. She's a kid.
No, she miscarried a kid.
Oh, that's too bad.
100 times better. Wow. Oh, I'll cover for you. Yeah. I was all sorts of worried motherhood was going to destroy that. But I think she lost it before any sort of tummy stretching took place.
Wow.
So, like, thank you, Mother Nature. Thank you. That's the type of girl. I'll keep running with it. You don't have to react here. That's good. That's the kind of girl that's not going to recover from a pregnancy all that well either. She could have gotten huge and never gotten her S right after that. Skinny celebs, I get it. You're skinny for life, pretty much. That's why if you're going to have a kid and you're getting married, find a skinny girl. They'll recover pretty nicely. Unless you're in, like, the Ozarks and they somehow go from 90 pounds and 5'3" to those weird fat people motor carts.
Dude, like, your only food option is Kentucky Funyuns. Fried chicken.
Yeah.
Like, once you have kids, it's just, like, another night with KFC.
God, that's depressing. But yeah, she lost her kid. I like the smile I say that with. It's gone. She never popped it out.
I'm so glad we're not videotaping today.
No, she's so sexy. That is the most insane body. She's just all jugs.
But yeah, what's Jason Statham dating now then?
Oh, what's who knows? Who knows? I know she did him. She did Billy Zane. Will has to be like, when's my turn?
Right.
You bald fetish bitch. Hop on.
It is disturbing how much Will looks like Billy Zane. Like when Billy Zane was his age.
Will needs to be darker. Billy Zane was a swarthier Greek.
That's true.
But they do have facial similarities. Yeah. To me, Will always reminds me of his name was Diedrich in Face Off. Like he's John, his famous Greek director. But he and his son became a director too. Son of a bick. Cassavetes. There you go.
Yeah.
John Cassavetes. John Cazale was that poor bastard who died of cancer after 5 amazing movies. Best movie resume ever, John Cazale. Or John Cazale, whatever you want to call him. I don't know if he Americanized it or not. He had The Conversation, Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Deer Hunter, and what the hell is that number 5 in there? Son of a bitch. Can't believe I'm drawing this blank. 5 movies all nominated for Best Picture.
Not bad.
No one's ever going to have a movie resume. Oh, Dog Day Afternoon. Another masterpiece. No one. But John Cassavetes, he had a son, Nick Cassavetes, and he's just this tall, bald, menacing-looking guy in Face Off.
Right.
He's Nick Cage's right-hand man.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Will looks like that to me. Not the singer from Midnight Oil, because that guy had no eyebrows.
Yeah.
And was very creepy looking. So, I don't know. We can get back to... You know what this show is like? It occurred to me right now. It's like Inception. And we just follow, like, dream into dream into dream into dream.
That is kind of the format.
And then we just kick up a couple layers back to the previous subject, and we try to catch where we were. I'm going to go back to women with great jugs and maybe okay asses, but they're not known for it. Did you see Katy Perry's big white ass on display? Like, she was at a water park this week, and some jet of water hits it and knocks down her little bikini bottom.
Oh, no.
Not a lot doing. Not a lot doing.
Just disappointing. That's too bad.
Yeah, not big and round. Just kind of meh. Mm. It wasn't like pancake flat, but it was very boring. And, again, I'm a jug guy, so I don't really care. Like, she's got so much up front. It would be greedy to ask for that, too.
Okay, I didn't say this earlier because I felt like I was being persecuted, but with Kelly Clarkson, nice ass.
I mean, when it was in some sort of shape, she's one of those unfortunate chicks that just, what?
You are the one who's always preaching to me, like, muscular memory, especially when you're, like, 20 overweight. You just keep talking about that. Like, I'm just going to bounce back. Don't worry, bro.
Hopefully there's no fat memory, because I'm carving a pretty strong one of those lately, too. Kelly Clarkson, I had a decent caboose when she was in shape. But what I remember of those days, especially the Behind These Hazel Eyes video, again, I saw all of this. I'm an honorary Mo like that. She had nothing up top. Nothing. And she was wearing this, like, tied-up shirt. And it's like, what is even anchoring that thing on?
That was an unwise choice by the music video director. I got to say, I didn't understand
that
either.
It was really showing off that figure like it was the best of the best. And you're like, no, she's skinny and she's got okay hips. But even skinny Kelly Clarkson was not really hourglass shaped. It was not puckered in the waist enough for that outfit.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. I thought I actually had a burned copy of that Breakaway album. Now,
wow,
for those that don't have it,
we have a winner.
Yeah, exactly. I won the secret Mo contest on a slam dunk at minute 51. Every good song was released as a single. It was one of those tragic albums where everything that wasn't released as a single was crap. Mm-hmm. And I always hate it when they know what's going to be a single and they just line that up and that's all they do.
That's the biggest problem with those major commercial albums, though. They know. They know.
They've only got X amount of dollars to go around for the good songwriters.
Yeah.
And then the rest, it's like these shots in the dark on these crappy guys, and you know it's crap, but you're like, well, we paid for four good ones.
Hey, the executive producer's younger brother is a songwriter, so yeah. we're gonna cut it to one of his tracks.
Oh, God. Oh, no, but it was, oh, God. I'm trying to think the dude they coughed up for that one. Max, God damn it, some Swedish guy. Max Martin, something like that. And he's the one that did I Kissed a Girl. He did Since You've Been Gone. He does all those good pop songs.
So I'm starting to learn about major songwriters, like people you may have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the biggest of all is Diane Warren. Do you know that name?
Who? Well, tell me what she did, and I might
I'm trying to remember some of the... I think she did the How Do I Live? That was in Con Air, and Leanne Rimes did the...
How do I live without you?
Then she did one Celine Dion song, but she did a... Oh, Toni Braxton. What was Toni Braxton's big... She's done like...
Unbreak My Heart?
Yes.
Oh, God. That was my jam when I was a kid. Toni looked so damn good in that video.
Written by a middle-aged Jewish woman. Like, this is the common theme for all these artists.
What, Jews control Hollywood? That's not a theme. It's a fact.
But no, like... She's the actual talent. She's just like an actual songwriter who's just, hey, I do. So, like, one of my favorite songs by her, I realized as I'm going through her, like, song list, is one that we never listen to anymore. Because the artist has been tainted by history.
You sound like we had a song we used to screw to and we've broken up and no longer do.
Worse.
What? What happened?
For those who ever bought a Milli Vanilli album only to find out.
Oh, Blame It on the Rain?
Yeah. Diane Warren wrote that song.
Really?
Yeah.
She was part of the team that created Milli Vanilli.
Blame It on the Rain. She wouldn't have known. Like, she just wrote this song, and then they're like, hey, we want to give it to these, like, European black guys.
Yes. Oh, there's nothing more sinister than black people with German names. There was a black German teacher at UVA, and you see a black guy doing the Schwanzelstudel. Oh, God. Oh, that... It was like seeing a pig walk a tightrope, man. It's just unnatural on like three different levels. It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard to this day. I remember it indelibly because he was located right next to my classroom. And I'd always walk in from the other side of the hallway after I came in that one time and walked past his class and heard that. My brain couldn't handle it. It upset my stomach. Hold on as I try to slyly reach for Surf Rider. And then we wait for Windows Media Player to load 45 seconds.
Mm.
I need to fix this computer.
Yeah.
And I can't. I tried. The virus is...
Do you know what's wrong with it?
Yeah, it's got some virus in the registry. Mm. And if I delete the file, that's actually part of the registry. And the whole computer falls to hell. And it's kind of like, the thing's already 4.5 years old. I need to replace it.
You got to blame it on something.
By the way, were you aware? Of course you weren't. Oh, should probably put the iPod in the program queue as well. This is the this month is the 5th anniversary of my little show. I kind of haven't been celebrating it all month long, but August is when we started. Back in what, August 07, doing the math?
Down in the doldrums this week, man. We're going to have to bounce back next couple of weeks.
We'll have to do some fun stuff, yeah. Bring in the strippers.
Mm.
Something fun like that.
The masseurs.
Yeah, exactly.
I meant
the professionals.
Masseuses. Yeah. I don't think we're getting masseurs if we want to keep some of your followers.
Yeah. Oh, just gaying it up. We could attack that new community, you know? Kind of unearth that. The way a lot of pop stars go country, Papa's Basement could go gay.
You're trying to get those Google hits up, man. I mean,
join the community.
Format rebranding might do it.
LGBT radio. Well, Howard, thank you for joining me. If the folks want to get a hold of you on Twitter, spell that out for them.
Epexegetical. Yeah. They should know that word by now.
Yeah, of course. I'm at Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio. The show's website's inpapasbasement.com. And you can go there for my writing, for a copy of this show, as well as every other show we've ever done. Links to our iTunes streaming feed. You can subscribe to that. And I think that's it for the plugs. Find us on Facebook there as well. Till next week, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.